Well, good morning, everybody. I'm just going to begin with a prayer. Father God, we thank you for this psalm. We thank you for all it teaches us about you and about us. And we pray as we look at this subject of who we are and the question of mental health and the gospel, please help me to explain it faithfully and help us to be those who are ever able to care well for each other. Amen. Pretty sure that's the right place. Excellent. So you may know that I'm a keen runner. In fact, there should be a little picture on the screen of me doing a bit of running. I really enjoy training and competing for my club, Cambridge and Coleridge. There are times when I'm giving it my all at the end of a race where I think I'm running really quite fast. That's the perception in my head, at least. However, many years ago, a friend filmed some of us as we were finishing a race. And when I looked at the video, it turned out my sprint finish wasn't quite the Mo Farah style that I'd imagined previously. You see, there was a gap between my perceptions and the reality of my running speed. There was a clear gap there. Well, today, as we look at Psalm 103, we're going to consider another gap between how we often see ourselves and how God sees us. As Tim said earlier, we're starting a new series, a new four-part series called Mental Health and the Gospel. How does that title make you feel? What did you discuss with the people next to you? I pray that we can approach this subject with sensitivity and also helpfully to help each other. The Bible isn't a medical handbook. However, it can and does help people who are struggling with their mental health, their mental ill health. The aim of our series is not somehow to make people think that they have mental conditions because mental health conditions because they're worrying or feeling anxious. It's designed to help start conversations, to help us care for each other better as church family. We're not experts, and we want to help anyone who needs to receive the best medical, psychological support and care that is available. We're not experts ourselves, definitely not. But we trust that God's word has something to say in this area too, of mental health struggles. And as we begin to think about this topic, here's a diagram that can help us. Hopefully it will come up on the screen there. A little diagram, and it's come from this book called Mental Health in Your Church. It's a book that many of our leaders have been reading. And in it, this is what they say. God has made us physical beings. Everything we do and experience happens through the medium of our physical frame. So, alongside our body, we're also impacted by the culture around us. That's the world in that diagram. So our mental health is not separate from our physical health. I'm sure many of us realise that already. So if you're facing mental health struggles, it's not always easy to hold on to Bible truths in those circumstances. As we seek to care for each other, we've got to be careful not to simply throw a Bible verse at somebody, because that may not be the best thing at that moment. Often the best first step is to care for somebody's physical needs and literally walk or sit with them in their struggle. And that's very much a biblical approach. For example, what's the best thing that Job's friends do for him in that book in the Old Testament? They sit with him in his struggle. I pray this will be something that we are increasingly able to do for each other. So today's title is, Who Am I? If mental health struggles cause us to doubt who we are, in God's sight, his word can help set us straight to come across that gap we mentioned earlier. And as we look at the psalm, I want to highlight four answers to our who am I question. I'm a whole person, I'm a child of God, I'm a sufferer, and I'm a sinner. And I'll do so by looking at how someone who might be experiencing mental health, ill health might approach that question, and then seeing how what God says might help to counter that. You see, particularly when we're struggling, we need to see this gap between how we often see ourselves and how God sees us. So firstly, I am a whole person. So how might somebody who is struggling with mental health see themselves? Perhaps they're saying, can I really be a Christian? Some days it's hard enough to keep going. Have you ever felt like that? Well, how does God see you in that situation? God has saved you as a whole person. He calls all of you to praise him, not just the bits that you think are acceptable. Have a look at the first two verses of our psalm, Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, forget not all his benefits. David, the writer of the psalm, urges himself to praise God. I guess it means that praise isn't naturally pouring out of him. He has to remind himself why he should do this. And often so will we. We'll have to tell ourselves we need to praise God. And he describes himself as being soul and inmost being. Literally, that's kind of like his entrails, his guts. David and you and I are embodied souls who live in a physical and a spiritual world. All of us, all of who we are, is able to praise God for all that he is. Remember, this is the same David writing this psalm who describes his intense anguish that we looked at in Psalm 13 at the end of last year in our prayers. He's the person who wrote this. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? In Psalm 103 and elsewhere in the Bible, we don't get a split between body, mind and soul in a way we might be tempted to see it in ourselves. You might know in Deuteronomy 6, the very famous words which are quoted elsewhere in the Bible. It says this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. Those are just different ways of saying love God with all that you are. Not kind of separate parts, but all that you are. What is your favourite subject at school? Or perhaps, what was it? It might come up on the screen, a little graphic. But have a think about that. What was your favourite subject at school? Of course, there's a variety of subjects, aren't there? Some that you'll like, and others maybe you won't. But we can't say that maths is somehow not part of school, whereas English is, just because we like one or the other. The whole of us is to praise God. That's what this psalm teaches. The whole of us is to praise God. We can't say we need to have somehow perfect mental health before we do so. We're called to praise God as we are. So firstly, I am a whole person. And secondly, I am a child of God. We'll just keep going, it's fine. Secondly, I'm a child of God. So how might a person experiencing mental health struggles see themselves? Can I really be a Christian, a child of God, if I have these struggles and thoughts? Aren't Christians meant somehow to be sorted? Have you ever felt like that? Well, how does God see someone in that position? God is a compassionate father who cares for his children. and knows and understands their struggles. Have a look at verse 13 of our psalm. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. So I'm a child of God. I'm a worshipper in relationship with my Father. Do you see the contrast in verse 12 of the way that our sins are separated as far as east is from the west, and yet the closeness of God, the compassionate Father? To fear the Lord is to trust him. It's not about being frightened, but being in awe. We read in Proverbs chapter 9 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Also, I see that I'm greatly loved. We see that in verse 11. I'm greatly loved. The love described here is God's steadfast love, his covenant love. That the word in the original comes so frequently throughout the Old Testament, reminding of God's faithful love. He pledges to be faithful to his people despite our frequent unfaithfulness. Look at what we receive in verses 3-5. David talks about being forgiven, healed, redeemed, crowned, satisfied. We can have a sermon on each of those benefits, but we haven't got time today. And yet through Jesus, we can be transformed from being God's enemies to God's children. Ultimately, it happens by God working righteousness. We see that in verses 6 and 17 of our psalm. It's true in Jesus. His righteousness is available for all God's people. But that's not always or indeed often our lived experience. God's timing may mean that we have to wait until the life to come to fully experience many of those things that are described there. We need to be aware of what might be known as the health and wealth gospel or prosperity gospel, where somehow people are told that if you have faith in God, you'll have all these great blessings in this current life. That may not be the case. We need to be aware of that. And so perhaps they might be told, well, if you're struggling with your mental health, you haven't got enough faith. That's so unhelpful. That's not what the Bible teaches. Look at the Apostle Paul, who wrote so much of the New Testament. God told him that his power was made perfect in Paul's weakness. He had very clear struggles we can read about in the New Testament. Now, whether or not we have experienced it ourselves, we naturally recognize a good father. He will hug and comfort his children when they're sad, when they're feeling sad and in trouble. He's not going to wait for them to cheer up and to stop crying first before he comforts them. He will show love and kindness to his children without them having to earn it. And that's only a little picture of how God, our perfect Father, relates to his children. However, that may be very hard for someone suffering mental ill health to grasp. In what practical ways could you support someone in that position and demonstrate our Father's love? If you're in that position, might you be able to ask for help? What happens then if these two truths that I know are real, but I'm still hurting? We need to pray that God will apply these truths to our hearts. Perhaps ask, how might I be giving in to untruths about myself? Thoughts like, I'm getting in the way, or I'm wasting people's time, or I'm a hindrance because I'm struggling. It's a battle, but one in which our Heavenly Father cares for us as his children. So I am a whole person, I'm a child of God, and thirdly, I am a sufferer. How might a person experiencing mental health struggle see themselves? They might say, I barely go a day without struggling with my mental health. Most people won't see it. And I wonder, does God really see it too? Have you felt like that? Well, how does God see someone in that position? God knows your struggles and your frailty. He knows your suffering and he cares. Look at verses 14 to 16 of our psalm. For God knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. All of us are frail, like dust and flowers that are easily blown over. For many of us, we might be more frail than others, both mentally and physically. It may take many forms. But remember, experiencing worry or anxiety doesn't mean that I have a mental health condition. And yet being a sufferer is compatible with being a Christian. We need to see that very clearly. Think of the example of Elijah. Don't know if you know the story of Elijah in the book of 1 Kings. In chapter 19, he's facing intense persecution from King Ahab. And he says to God, I want to die. And yet God provides him with food and water. God demonstrates his character in action to Elijah. Think too of David, who wrote this psalm, of Moses, and ultimately of Jesus, God's son. Suffering is compatible with being a Christian. We need to see that. When we suffer mental ill health, we're groaning with all of creation, just like that description in Romans chapter 8. But yet we remain secure in Christ. He's our great high priest who knows what we're going through. Here's how Hebrews chapter 4 puts it. For we do not have a great high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach the throne of God with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. And when someone comes to school on crutches with their leg in a cast, everyone knows about it. Maybe that's happened at your school. They often become the center of attention. But if someone else comes to school each day suffering from anxiety, very few may know about it. However, to God, the one who knows we are formed, how we're formed, and he knows his children, mental health struggle is not hidden. We can be better at looking after each other, looking after those in need. And we want to set an example as leaders in doing that. Tim, Flo, and I will be available after the service if you feel ready to talk. But we also want to help everybody care well for each other. So maybe the person sitting next to you might be the best person to speak with. And if you don't want to talk, that's fine too. You might simply be able to say, this is a struggle for me, and nothing more at this stage. Well, how might you offer help? Could you simply be a good listener? That's so important. Could you be able, where appropriate, to say how the truths of this passage have helped you? Could you pray that for somebody else? You see, we're all people in need of change, helping other people in need of change. We need to see our own need straight away. So I'm a whole person. I'm a child of God. I'm a sufferer. And finally, we see I'm a sinner. How might a person experiencing mental health struggle view themselves? They might think, well, maybe my struggles are because God is allowing me to feel the consequences of past sins. Others at church who seem to be doing fine, they must be less sinful than me. Ever felt like that? Well, how does God see them? God has saved me from my sin, yet I'm not entirely free from it. But I mustn't link somehow a specific sin to my struggle. That can be so unhelpful. So we need to keep coming to God and saying, forgive us our sins. That's the line in the Lord's Prayer we'll say each week. I'm confident that he does forgive. God does say in places like James chapter 1 and Hebrews 12, he talks about giving us trials to refine and strengthen our faith, of disciplining us. But it doesn't mean that anyone should say they're experiencing this particular struggle because of that sin, any more than I should say, well, I suffered a pulmonary embolism because of a particular transgression. We can't make that link. We can't draw that line. However, neither can we take our status as saved sinners out of the equation. I am a saved sinner. That's great news. Look at verse 12. Take comfort from that. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. They couldn't be further away. That's what that verse is saying. But yet I'm in a battle with my sin. We read in Galatians chapter 5, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you don't always do whatever you want. Sin will always be part of the picture for Christians until we're in heaven. We have been justified. That's declared right in God's sight. But yet we're not yet sinless. Have a look at the next picture on the screen. Now, would you say that is a photo of me? I'm in the photo, but it's me with seven other running teammates. I'm one part of the picture. I'm not the whole thing. We can't separate sin from our mental health struggles. It is part of the picture. Sin colours all of our lives. We remain saved sinners in all that we go through. We live in a broken world. But we mustn't do the opposite and say, I have anxiety or depression because of this or that sin. Well, as we've looked at Psalm 103 this morning, I've highlighted four answers to that who am I question. I'm a whole person. I'm a child of God. I'm a sufferer and I'm a sinner. It's not enough, and in fact, it may be unhelpful to simply quote Bible verses like these to someone experiencing mental ill health. The first thing we need to do is often very practical. That could be offering food or drink, walking or sitting with somebody who is struggling. Just reaching out is a great start. Well, in this Psalm 103, David urges everything about him to praise God and remember all that God has done for him. I need to know that God sees me as his beloved child, even when I'm suffering. Who will you help see this truth and how? That's a challenge for all of us. I'm just going to pause for a bit and then I'm going to pray and there'll be a chance for any comments and questions after that. Lord God, thank you that you are a gracious and compassionate Father who cares for his children. Thank you that you know our struggles and that you call us to bring them to you and you call us to care for each other as your people. Amen. So there's a microphone going around if anyone would like to ask a question or a comment.
Hi, you mentioned earlier that it's not good to give a verse from the Bible when you want to walk alongside someone. But for me, with my mental health struggles, actually, I quite like the fact that someone would give me a verse to remember God's goodness, even in my difficulties. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank
actually,
you.
Walk alongside me and give me scripture, because that suits me.
Thank you, that's really helpful. So I probably should have been clearer, actually. What I meant was that it may not always be the best approach, but in many cases it can be a really good thing. So yeah, thank you for that feeling, that's really helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Ed. I was intrigued to see what you'd say, and I found those, particularly your comment from the Psalm on we are suffering and we are sinners, very helpful. Today happens to be Epiphany. The Magi were on a journey, and I think this will hopefully be a very useful journey for us as a church family, getting to grips with a different topic that there often isn't very good language for. So I think those are just very helpful terms.
Thank you so much. Maybe he's got a question at the front or a comment.
Thanks, Ed. I thought that was really helpful. I thought it might also be helpful to hold in mind who we will be and who God will make us into, and that these difficulties won't be there in heaven, and we won't be suffering from mental and physical ill health for eternity.
Thank you. That's really helpful. Thank you.
I think this is a wonderful topic for us to share as a church family. And as someone who 8 years ago suddenly got reduced to physical ill health and still struggle with it. And, you know, people will exhibit kindness, sometimes pity, compassion towards me. And my response always is, well, my physical health, you know, I can look after, but my spiritual and mental health that you can't see are actually much more important. And I spend a lot of time dealing with my mental health, you know, in terms of keeping to a routine, socializing, reading my Bible, praying, reaching out to people. These are important things for your mental health. And also not dwelling. You know, I had someone phone me at Christmas time having a really bad Christmas, a big argument with a family member. And they said to me, can you remember all the terrible Christmases? And I said, yes, I can. I've had dreadful Christmases, but I don't want to remember them. I want to be grateful to God and rejoice for today, because this Christmas I've felt better than I have for the last 3 years. And I've got today and tomorrow. You know, the past we cannot undo. We can atone for our sins, but we cannot rewrite the past. So, you know, I do believe that for mental health, I mean, I'm no mental health expert, but I do a lot of listening because of my physical condition. I'm forced to be more sedentary than I'd want to be. But God gives you other ways to serve. And I'm a very good listener, and I have a lot of phone calls all the time. And so really, if anybody wants to phone me and talk about anything, I will always be a listening ear, and I will never judge, and I won't even quote the Bible at you because I don't know it well enough. But I will try to let God do his work in me.
Thanks so much, June. That's really good. Excellent. So back to you now, Tim.
Have we sent someone to collect the youngsters? Didn't we able to go and do that? Thanks, Nick.